what Paul has done, who he is sending to them, and it's really, it's just amazing to think that there are people like Tychicus in the world yet today, and we have Tychicuses in our church even. And I think Jeff is a good example of one who passes, brings information, brings news to let us know how these missionaries are doing and how we can pray. Because, you know, they said on the CBN thing regarding the pastor in Turkey that we got to do something. Well, you're probably like me sitting there thinking, well, what can we do? No one ever tells us to do something. What is it? You know, who's the powers that be need to give us a plan? Well, we have the plan, and that is pray. And God is raising up people that are fighting for Him using the gifts that God has given them in this life, but we need to pray. This is warfare. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. Well, we've been informed of how we can pray. And Jeff, I think it'd be good, you know, let's talk about it at lunch and during our prayer time today so we can pray for these two situations that we've talked about now over the last 2 weeks. This is warfare, and intercessory prayer is wartime prayer. So we're going to continue that thought as we look at Tychicus in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. But first, let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray, asking that you would give us wisdom and insight and help stir our hearts to be people of prayer. Stir our hearts that we would first be worshipers, that we would be in awe of who you are, and that we would jealously guard our own hearts, but also guard our fellow brothers and sisters, their hearts, as we pray, lifting each one up before you. We pray that you would grant us passion and grant us love for you, grant us a vision for how great you are, and then help us to be those that are like Tychicus, who inform in order that we might better pray, but also help us to be vulnerable like Paul, who's willing to have matters in his life talked about and shared with others. It's okay. I'm glad to hear laughter. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Children can't help but laugh. Or cry. Or yelp. Or whatever. But Ephesians chapter 6, verses 21 and 22. I'm going to read verses 19 through 22. Pray also for me, Paul says, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything, so that you also may know how I am doing and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage you. Last week we talked about Paul requesting prayer. He was asking for intercessors, people to pray on his behalf and pray things that no doubt he desperately felt a need for help, that he would fearlessly proclaim the gospel as he ought to. For him to ask for that, pray that I would fearlessly do this, must indicate that he feels the weight of pressure to not be fearless in his preaching of the gospel. If Paul didn't preach, what else would he do? He probably was an okay tent maker, but he wasn't made to make tents. He was made to preach the gospel, and he well knew the strain that he was under and the temptation to back away. But I think what came to the top of the surface was the question of how do we pray? How do we pray for someone? What motivates us to pray wartime prayers and to keep it up? So oftentimes we'll pray and then we're off doing something else. But what keeps the heart engaged in prayer for someone else? And it's none other than worship. Worship is the well from which intercessory prayer has to flow. Intercessory prayer flows from a commitment to know God better and to behold the infinite worth and glory of God ourselves, and then want that for other people as well. The only way that they could sustain prayer for Paul to preach fearlessly was the thought of, you are great, and we want other people to know that you are great, oh God. So for us, the challenge is if we're delighting and beholding, delighting in God and beholding the worth and glory of God, our prayers will be rich and they'll be full. They'll be prayers from the throne of God to the throne of God. There is though God gives us what to pray, and we pray to Him who gave it. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, even passion to pray for other people. But desire has to be the starting point. Do you even desire to pray? Well, the question that we have to ask is, well, what can help us to have a desire to pray? There has to be something that stirs our hearts that we can have that desire to pray. If someone says to you, just pray for me, you can pray for them. I pray for so-and-so, Lord. And then you're left wondering, well, I don't know exactly what I ought to pray. Well, you can pray all kinds of prayers, and we'll talk more about that here in just a little bit. But praying for someone's fine, but it helps when you know how to pray. We can pray those general prayers, good prayers, such as give them a heart to worship you today. Pray that for me. That's a good general prayer. Pray that I would behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a good prayer, but those are general prayers. But if you're aware of the needs of those that you're praying for, if you're aware of some of the strategies that the enemy has used against them to hinder their spiritual growth in the past, you can pray in those matters. If you know areas of stronghold that your brother or sister that you're praying for has been subjected to or at least under attack in certain areas of their lives, you know how better to pray. If you know your brother or your sister is prone to depression or fear or weakness or anxiety, you can pray regarding those areas in their lives. Wartime prayers for the purpose of, ultimately, of more people worshiping God and knowing Him through faith in Jesus Christ. If you know for your brother or sister that certain matters in their lives, practical matters, are weighing heavy upon them, you can pray for them in those matters as well. Things that steal the joy of someone, pray for those matters. If you know someone and you're asked to pray for them, you can pray for them wonderfully. One of the reasons why we choose to meet together and spend a lot of time together is that we'll know each other better. There may be, and we talked about this regarding pastors, but it's true for each of us in the congregation, we can become critics of one another. We can discover each other's weaknesses. And used in the flesh, it can destroy someone. But by the Spirit, when we discover someone's weakness, rather than tearing them down and destroying them, we can use that knowledge to pray for them. If you find that someone's very disagreeable on matters that you think are worthy of attention, you can at least pray. You don't have to just write them off. Or if you find somebody's just a negative personality, pray for them. Someone prayed for me a long time ago, and someone was praying for someone else, and I used to be known as the prophet of doom. You would say, it's a nice, pretty, sunny day. I'd say, well, it's probably going to rain later. I'd always find the bad side to everything. And I probably still do that to some degree, in large degree. It depends who I'm with, I suppose. But someone prayed for me. God works to change lives. And the only way that you can do that is to know people, get to know them, know what's going on. That's what I want to zero in on today. That's why we look at Tychicus in verses 21 and 22 regarding using knowledge to aid you in your prayers for one another. Using knowledge to aid your prayers and helping one another. Now, Tychicus was sent by Paul on a very special and important mission to simply inform the people of what's going on with Paul. And Paul makes that perfectly clear so that you can know what's going on with us. Now, I think we have to read it in context of prayer. It's been telling them, here's what you can pray. Now, here's what's going on. Pray that I preach fearlessly, but here's what's going on. Now, it had to be very personal. It had to be something that would give them insight to think, eyes wide open, to think, I can't even imagine what Paul's facing right now. But Tychicus served to inform the congregation so that they could pray concerning Paul and his ministry. Tychicus was one of Paul's favorite ministers. He's mentioned a few times in the New Testament, and he's always called a faithful minister, a brother, a dearly loved brother, the beloved brother. He's always mentioned as one who not only is faithful, but he's loyal. I just think it's something about Tychicus that Paul loved, and he knew that when I send him out, he will give a beautiful report, a perfect portrait of what's going on and how people can pray for me. It's one thing to be able to pass on news. It's another thing to be able to pass on news accurately. You know, it's easy to want to embellish it. Oftentimes with missionary stories, you know, we'll talk about what's going on, and it almost sounds like it's one great victory under one great victory. But I remember talking to a missionary one time, and he said, every day is usually just very dull. It was Stuart Pointer had said that I needed trusses for our building. This was over in Uganda, and it took him months to find them, months to secure them. In the meantime, he had to get new tires for his truck, and it took him months to find tires. And he was about simple things. How do I keep the electricity on? How do I keep my family in paper so they can keep doing their homeschooling while we're here? And it was one problem after another that was causing a great disruption in the ministry that they were supposed to do. Well, the wonder of it is, was he said, pray for us. The mundane, normal, everyday life things that we had to participate in when we lived here in the States is dramatically harder over there. The mundane is more mundane than it ever was in the States. We're thinking it's all about ministering. They're preaching the gospel. They're talking to people about Jesus. And they were. But the mundane was so slow, it was almost driving them insane. Those were things that we were informed about so we could pray for them. We didn't pray prayers for them. We prayed that it would go smoothly for them. We prayed, give them grace to stand during their boredom. Give them grace that during these mundane, ordinary events, they would be able to at least sustain joy. What keeps them on the mission field is the people that were praying for them and keeping them, but had to be well informed. So they didn't embellish the stories to make it out something that it wasn't. So they needed to communicate accurately. Paul needed to communicate accurately, and that's what he did. Tychicus probably came to faith either through Paul's direct ministry when he passed through one of the towns in Asia. It's possible, or it could be even that Tychicus came to faith as a result of those that were present on the day of Pentecost who were from Asia. They heard the word of God in their own language, and they received Christ through faith. They were added to the Lord's body, and then afterward they went back to their homes in Asia. And they too began preaching the gospel and telling of this newfound faith in Jesus Christ. Tychicus could have come to faith somewhere along the line through that movement of the Spirit of God. It's hard to say. But either way, he had become faithful. He had passion. Connor and I were talking. I asked him about a question about what he take away from the concert that he saw last night. And he said they were passionate. They talked about passion, having a passion for the Lord. Tychicus was useful because he had passion for the Lord. His energies were directed in an eternal pathway. Oftentimes we get our pathways so thinned down because we're spread thin that it's hard to keep focused. But you can be very busy and yet keep a good, passionate faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had used Tychicus many, many times. He used him to minister to Titus. Titus was going through some hard times. Titus was fairly young, but he wasn't as young as Timothy. But Titus had to be encouraged, and this is exactly what Tychicus was sent to do, was to inform Titus what's going on with Paul, but also to bolster Titus's faith. He did the same with Timothy as well. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he speaks about that. But now, these young men, they were encouraged as well to stay true in the ministry. But now Paul sends him to the Ephesian churches, the churches in Ephesus and surrounding Ephesus. And his ministry is going to prove to be invaluable. In fact, it was Tychicus who probably delivered the letter here to the Ephesians. So they're reading it, he's reading it, somebody's reading it, and then it comes to Tychicus. This is why he's here. He's here to inform you that you can be partners with me in the ministry, because remember, one of the most important aspects of ministry for Paul was not just his work, but the work of those that he had ministered to in the past, that they would join him in prayer. We used 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, where Paul said, what's happened to us has actually served to work out for our deliverance through your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit. And he uses the same wording in Philippians chapter 1, through your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit, our deliverance is sure. And so he's sending this letter because he's going to partner with him, and he's going to partner with them primarily through prayer, coveting their prayers. We have to pray for one another. None of us can live as islands. We have to have the covering of prayer of others. And you should view those that bring good news to you and those that you're going to use to bring information to other people as those who, as Isaiah 52:7 says in Romans chapter 11, those who have beautiful feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And Tychicus surely was one of those that had, in Paul's eyes, the beautiful feet. And he served a crucial role in Paul's life, and he's going to serve a crucial role in us as well, for us as well, as we think about intercessory prayer. It's birthed out of the heart of worship. It is also, it's more effective then as we are informed as to what we ought to pray. We can pray prayers in such a way, in wartime prayers, it's just like a rifle shot hitting the target. Wouldn't you like your prayers to be like that? That you are praying specifically for specific needs that we each have, that we can see Satan push back. I hope you want to see the enemy humiliated. I hope you want to see him push back. I hope you want to see him run in fear. We should pray just like that. Pray that our prayers would prevail and be as rifle shots hitting the target. Paul is on a mission, and it's to preach. Paul has a need, and it's to preach fearlessly. And Tychicus will inform them how to pray for Paul specifically concerning all those needs. How many of you have a walkie-talkie somewhere in the house? You don't know where it's at, maybe, but most of us have had or do have a walkie-talkie. And we use it. And why do you use it? Use it to communicate. And Paul certainly is using Tychicus now to communicate to the people that they could communicate with God and through prayer. Most of us know our mission. We know something that we're supposed to do as Christians. We may not know specifically what we ought to do, but we know that we're supposed to be out ministering the gospel in one way, shape, or form. We have to know that. We know what our mission is, but we oftentimes don't know the specifics. When was the last time that you informed someone that you are not quite sure what God wants you to do with your life? You have to be willing to be transparent. You have to be willing to inform. Many of us know what our mission is, and maybe even specifically what we ought to do, but we don't see opportunities opening up for us. When was the last time you shared your passion and your desire and desired that ones would pray for you to see this through, to see the vision that God has given you for ministry birthed and grow up and take shape? When was the last time one of you had a real spiritual need, you're struggling, you know you're down in the trenches and you're beginning to falter and fade as a believer? Your faith is waning, you're becoming disillusioned in the faith. When was the last time you had the courage to tell someone, I'm in trouble, here's what I'm struggling with, would you pray for me? When was the last time you told someone, I even have my own doubts concerning faith? Do you realize every time that you share with someone what's going on, and you're sharing it in such a way that you trust them and they pray for you, that you are being held fast in this battle, this spiritual warfare, the conflict that we're in? Use the prayers of others. Paul was not afraid to ask for help. And he was, as I've already mentioned, he said, through your help, through your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit. We can't think that prayers are not essential in this spiritual warfare. You know your mission, but you say, I'm too afraid to do it. That's timidity. And Paul says, we've not been given a spirit of fear and timidity, but of love, power, and sound mind. You need help in wartime. I need help. I need reinforcements. Maybe you're full of fear. You're full of timidity. Maybe you lack focus. How many of you struggle with focus on things that you do and you see, you know, I get started on something, but I never finish it. You realize there are patterns and habits in life that you need to break in order to be more effective in your mission as a Christian? Maybe you're prone to laziness in your everyday life. Well, don't think it's not going to spill over into your spiritual walk, too. It's time we think more than just what I've got to do in my practical areas of life, and how does the practical areas of life affect the actual ministry and the mission that I'm supposed to have as a believer. You might lack desire. That's a big one. Maybe your love interests lie in the world more than it lies with the kingdom and with God. Isn't that embarrassing to talk about with other believers? It sure is. It's embarrassing to tell someone, I think I lack desire. See, the mind and the heart are not running in tandem at that point in time. In your mind, you may say, I know I need more desire, but I totally lack passion. I totally lack desire. You can't conjure that up in yourself. It's a gift from God, right? Desire is a gift from God. There is a right and holy desire that God desires you to have. And it's yours for the asking and yours for the taking, but you may be in such a spiritual state right now that you need help. You need reinforcements. You may cry out, man down, man down. Well, what's the problem? Jim, you say, I would say to you, I lack desire. So often I'm fearful. So often I'm timid, whatever the case would be. Maybe a lack of love. You really would say it's the biggest hindrance. And my carrying out the mission God has given me is I don't love people as I ought to. In my head, I know I'm supposed to, but in my heart, it's just not there. It's like I come up to the point where I could actually love them, and there's nothing there. It's like a puff of air. I need more love. Satan would love nothing more than to you to hold on to that. And all these that I've mentioned before, and just keep it in your heart and let no one else know about it. This church could be an incredibly dynamic power in this community and see people come to faith in Jesus Christ if we more and more prayed for our own church mission, that others would behold the radiance of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and that the gifts of those that God has put in this church would be unleashed and put in full service. What is it that's hindering your work? What is it that's holding you back? You may even, and these things we've talked about are serious and they're real, but your mind is saying, I know this is how I ought to be, but I'm just not following through. Maybe you lack joy. Maybe you lack peace. It could be physical limitations that you feel like you have and that are real, that prevent you from doing what you would like to do. But perhaps God is raising you up instead of being the one to actually put your hand to the work. He's calling you out to be the one to organize it. Could be limitations of your imagination. I can't even see what my ministry would be. I can't even see how I could possibly use, I'm trying to think of what we might consider a useless gift, but we oftentimes will see certain things as not very important. But it's for a lack of imagination that the things that you are interested in, you're not using to minister in those areas right now. Maybe you lack imagination. God gave us an imagination that we could think through and plan and dream and bring those dreams to fruition. Could be worries of your finances or worries of your health. These are things that hinder, and there are things that are oftentimes strongholds in our lives. Well, Paul sent Tychicus that he could inform them of how things are going with him, and I have to believe it would have been a list of positives, to be sure, but also a list of very personal and private matters that perhaps Paul realized, you know, I have nothing to lose by being forthright with the areas in which I struggle. Because the only way for this mission to be accomplished is for me to have a clear view of the glory of God. And lack of imagination, lack of desire, lack of love, and all the things that I mentioned, each of these rob us of a clear vision of the glory of God. Pure stubbornness on your part will rob you of a vision of the glory of God. Pure stubbornness, and where you dig your heels in and you say, I won't even think about such things, robs you of a vision of the glorious grace of God. We can't march forward if the enemy's given free rein in our lives. We can't. For us to pray effectively, we have to be informed. Am I willing to be humble and transparent? It's the hardest thing to do. It's the scariest thing for us to do, to admit to one another where we have struggles and where we suffer daily when no one else can look. When in wartime, people gathered, I think hearing my neighbor Erna Kellums would tell stories of her growing up during World War II. And she said it didn't matter what side of town you were from, which side of the tracks you were on, you lived on, people rallied together and sacrificed just the same. There was no, they live in that on that hill up on high up on that hill, and we live down here in the low part of town. It was one for all and all for one. We're in wartime right now. And just as when they were in wartime, it didn't really matter how rich you were, how poor you were, as a general rule, people felt like they were in this together. But so often, we live in such pleasant times, in such peacetime, that we're so critical of one another, that who would be willing to share and be transparent and say, I really struggle in this area for fear that I'll be shot by my own teammates. We could be shocked by what we would share with each other about our doubts, our fears, our trials, our temptations. We may be shocked. It might surprise you if things like that were ever spoken in private among each other or in a group. But it shouldn't cause us to want to fatally wound our own teammates. We're not the enemy in this room. None of us should be an enemy of the other. You may not like something about somebody else, but it doesn't mean that they're your enemy. It gives you opportunity to pray. But there has to be humility and transparency. Are you willing to be humble? Are you willing to be transparent? Now, I'm reading into this text, I think, because Paul doesn't say that. But if he's going to inform them how he is, I have to think Paul knew the severity of his crisis and the magnitude of the mission, that he knew he had to be forthcoming with what's going on. He wasn't asking for financial support. It's not like a missionary sending out a newsletter saying, all is great, 10 billion people are coming to faith every day, send your money. It cost us this much to live and we're comfortable here. He didn't do that, and I'm not saying all missionaries do, but it's tempting. Who wants to support a missionary that's saying, I am so low right now, I feel like quitting the ministry? Would you support someone like that? It'd be hard to support someone like that. But if you know they're about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and here they are telling me that they feel low, so low they want to quit, you know where you can pray for them. They have to be prayed for. Emergency prayer. remember, when Paul was at his lowest, God used him the most. The prayer can't be that you would be delivered from every trouble and every trial, but that you would be faithful through the trouble and the trial. I think the encouragement that you could receive would be magnificent, and you would see the glory of God, and we as a church would benefit from it. I think Paul was wise in sending Tychicus to bring more information that went beyond the scope of the letter. And I think it's pretty amazing, too, that the man who is in chains, the Apostle Paul, sought the help of those who were free in Ephesus, but he also sought the encouragement, sought to encourage those men and women in Ephesus as well. In closing, the quality of your worship will affect the quality of your prayers. The amount of information, or if you have been informed in the needs of others, it will affect how you pray for them. And when you ask people to pray for you, I would encourage you and challenge you in this. Number one, we don't know how much information Paul really shared about his deep inward trials, but I have to believe he was transparent of the things that were hindering him. But if you're going to have people pray for you, I would ask you to, I challenge you in this. You don't have to tell the whole story of your life in one setting. It's like a teacher taught me one time. He said, throw out a few pieces of bread out into the water and see how the fish bite. See how far you can go to trust someone. You have to build confidence in each other. Prove yourself to be trustworthy if someone comes to you. And if you're surprised and shocked about something that they share with you, pray for your own response. So Paul called upon these believers to pray for him. He sent Tychicus to inform them. They certainly would pray more. And we know the rest of the story. Paul went on to fulfill the ministry that God had for him, preaching the gospel, even though he was in chains. And may that be the case for us today. Father in heaven, give us grace that we can learn from this lesson about Tychicus and the power of his work to inform these believers, that they would better know how to pray for Paul, that they would be encouraged by what you were doing through the apostle and through the ministry of the apostle. Let us learn from that we could be transparent. Transform this church, Lord, that we would be humble and transparent with the things that we struggle with, and that we could truly love one another and pray for one another and value each other and protect one another's reputation. And we would pray that you would glorify yourself and that others would see your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.